This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be with somebody who's doing really important work in our world, Monica Bryant. Monica is the co-founder and the chief operating officer of an organization called Triage Cancer. Critical issues. Looking forward to visiting with Monica. Monica, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. First of all, let me just say thank you so much for having me. I'm always delighted to be introduced to new audiences. I am a cancer rights attorney and co-founder of a nonprofit called Triage Cancer. And we are dedicated to providing education on all of the practical and legal issues that arise for individuals after they receive a cancer diagnosis.
And how did you get started in this? How did you end up founding Triage Cancer? What drove you to this direction?
Triage Cancer. Certainly my career path has been anything but straight. But I think that the common theme really has been this desire for justice and fairness. And I've always really had an interest in how the law can both oppress and empower people. Because the reality is the law touches almost every aspect of our lives. And I really believe that individuals, once given the proper education, can use the law as a tool to become their own advocates. And what I was seeing was individuals who have been diagnosed with cancer may be getting stellar medical care, but the reality is that cancer can impact so many avenues and areas of our lives. And there really weren't any tools or resources to help people deal with all of these practical and legal issues that arise. And so I saw really a gap in what was being offered.
And tell us what you do. What does Triage Cancer do itself?
So again, we are a national nonprofit, and we provide education around these practical and legal issues, which can really run the gamut from understanding your health insurance policy to how do you get health insurance if you've, you know, lost your job, to what are your rights in the employment arena, to finances, to estate planning, and everything in between.
And so talk to us for a moment about this employment situation, because many people sort of struggling with cancer end up with this very difficult situation of both needing to keep a job because that's where their insurance is, and at the same time their body sometimes can't keep up with it and really needs the rest because of the stress of the chemo, the radiation, everything else. How do people balance those two challenges?
Well, I will start by saying that there are no two identical scenarios. Everyone really has a unique experience with all of this. But what we often see is that individuals who have been diagnosed are battling lots of assumptions. So there's assumptions from their employers that while you've been diagnosed with cancer, there's no way you could work. There's assumptions that they have of how could I possibly work and have cancer and go through treatment. And then certainly from the healthcare providers who say, you know, you have cancer, you can't work. And that's not always the truth. And the reality is that there are several laws, both federal and state, that may provide some tools for people to continue working through treatment in maybe a modified way, or to take time off if that's what's needed for them, but still have a job after a certain amount of time. And then a lot of times people forget to look at their own employer policies, because the reality is the law is the bare minimum of what employers have to provide, and many employers are much more generous. So there are things in the law like reasonable accommodations, which is a legal term for modifications to allow people to continue working if that's what they want to do or need to do, as you mentioned.
How long ago was it that you started this, and how did you guys get it started?
So I've been doing this work for about 10 years in various capacities, but Triage Cancer as an entity was founded in 2012. And my co-founder and I, my co-founder is Joanna Morales, she's our CEO, we really saw a gap where there weren't any organizations solely focused on the education around these issues, and that many organizations that were trying to deal with this were very reactive. We're trying to be a little bit more proactive, because if we can get people this education and this information before they've made decisions, like maybe leaving their job because they think there's no other options, we can help them make better decisions, which may positively impact their situation down the road. And so we often say we need to catch people further upstream so that, again, they can make those educated decisions.
Fascinating. And do you ever think, between you and your co-founder, Joanna, and yourself, both of you very talented, both of you doing a magnificent thing and helping people, you know, sift through this stuff. Do you ever think some days there should be a palace coup and you should be CEO and she should be COO?
No. But that is for a variety of reasons. We certainly both have our individual strengths. And of course, we, as all humans, have our weaknesses. But a pretty well-known fact in the cancer community is that she and I are actually sisters. And she is the older sister. I am the younger sister. And so our entire lives have sort of operated with this power structure. So it works well for us.
That is magnificent. And that is a, that may be a well-known fact in the cancer community, but certainly wasn't a well-known fact to me. So thank you for sharing. And I wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't
Absolutely.
Have guessed that, but that's magnificent. What a labor of love. And what is the most, you know, when you look at all this and the beauty of what you do, and I can say the beauty of what you do or the sadness of what you do is every single person that listens knows somebody that's had an oncology problem or a cancer problem, someone related to them, someone close to them. So all of us sort of at least almost automatically intuitive know what you're talking to. We have a relative who's struggling with cancer now and working through the exact same issues with his employer. And his employer, in fact, has been incredibly fair and generous to that, you know, to my relative. So but we see this from all aspects, and we see this fine line between what can the person do versus they can't they do, and how important the insurance is, and how important the sense of self-worth is to still be right. doing something while they're fighting this, you know, very difficult disease. So a fascinating thing. What's some of the most gratifying things that you've seen in working on this, Monica? What are some of the things that have been like, ah, that was terrific? What's gone well? Give us something positive.
Well, I will certainly say that the day the Affordable Care Act was passed was definitely a momentous day in our careers. It is certainly not a perfect piece of legislation, and it has obviously been politicized, but the idea now that everyone in this country has the right to buy health insurance if they can afford it is game-changing for us. So that was certainly a day that goes down in history for us, and we hope to continue seeing the law be protected and improved upon. But on a sort of a more personal level, you know, we see it on a daily basis where people will call us or reach out through their healthcare providers with sort of devastating news of they're going to lose their jobs or their health insurance and they don't know what to do. And more often than not, we're able to point them in the direction of a law that exists or another health insurance option for them that completely changes their outlook on what's going to happen for both their healthcare, their financial stability. And we often say, even though we're typically the only lawyers in the room of oncologists and cancer healthcare professionals, that what we are doing is really a psychosocial service, because the anxiety and the stress that having to deal with all of this, what are we going to do for our job, or what am I going to do for health insurance, or I can't afford treatment, all of that impacts somebody's quality of life. And really what we want is to be able to sort of reduce that stress and anxiety for individuals. And I'll never forget a woman who called me. Her husband had left one job, was starting a new job, but you know, hadn't been there very long, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He was the breadwinner, and she literally was in tears because she had no idea what her family was going to do. So when I explained to her that she had her husband had the right to elect this new company's health insurance, even though he'd been diagnosed, you know, she kept crying, but now it was sort of tears of joy because she knew that her family was going to have health insurance coverage. So just that small piece of information was game changing for her.
Well, isn't that fantastic? And there must be so many stories like that. People don't realize they have rights to certain coverage. And that's a lot about what you do and just magnificent. And some employers are very benevolent with it. Some are not. And either way, it's great for people to have the information of what's expected and what's required and everything else. The thing you mentioned about the ACA is a fascinating topic because notwithstanding the vast political divide, the one thing that Americans agree on, at least polls show 80% plus, is that people should be able to buy health insurance regardless of pre-existing conditions. And that's probably as much of what you're talking about as anything when you talk about the ACA. And most Americans, regardless of where you're at, whether you're center-right, center-left, far-left, far-right, agree that there should be coverage if you have a pre-existing condition or the ability to get coverage. So we certainly, whether we applaud the whole act or not, we certainly applaud 100%. You're pointing that out as a huge red letter day for people with cancer or any kind of disease, because before that, someone really, if they could, if they had to stay employed by a big company who had big health insurance, or they were really waiting till they're 65, or they were really in trouble. So it's one piece of legislation that Republicans, Democrats, as polled, overwhelmingly support. And I applaud you, you know, pointing that out. Thank you. Monica, a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you go back to the important work that you do. tell us, somebody wants to learn more about triage cancer and what you do and how people manage this. How do people reach you, you know, or the CEO that you've so graciously ceded the older sister role to? Monica, how do people reach you or your organization? And what a magnificent thing you do and an important thing. How do they get more information about you?
So definitely our website is a great place to start, and it's just triagecancer.org, and all of our contact information is there. And people on our website will also be able to find a plethora of educational materials. We refer to them as our quick guides and checklists. So those are 1-4 page guides on a variety of topics. So someone who wants to learn more about reasonable accommodations and how they can work through treatment can go to our website, click on the quick guide and download it for free. We also know that people learn in different ways, and so we have a handful of animated videos that are short, you know, 5-minute long animated videos available in English and Spanish, so people can watch those if they don't want to read a quick guide. And then also on our website is where people can find out about the online and in-person events that we host. So we have a monthly webinar series completely free of charge to attend. We also provide continuing education to nurses and social workers who attend those. So all you have to do is just go online, register for our webinars, and then join us every month for those. And then we have a handful of in-person events as well. So we host conferences that are open to anybody in the community who is interested in learning more about these topics. So that could be individuals who have been diagnosed, survivors, caregivers, healthcare professionals. We provide continuing legal education for attorneys who attend. And we actually will be hosting one of those conferences in Chicago this year in October. So again, completely free to attend. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up.
That's fantastic. And I'll tell you, I know that you're speaking to our producer and I, and particularly I, when you say that some of us learn through animation versus reading, and so we will find that extremely helpful for the two of us. It's fantastic. I have to tell you, Monica, it's amazing what you do. Just a fantastic service and effort and not-for-profit, and just so thrilled to learn more about it today. And I see it. Everybody has family members that need your help. So thank you so much. TriageCancer.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys today.